The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday to you. It's May 15th. Glad to have you along on this Friday edition of Talk Back. I'm Peter. That is Mr. Nick. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
Well, lots going on today. We are coming up in just a few minutes. We're going to be talking with Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity. And Dr. Al Oshefsky will be joining us at 9 o'clock. He's running for Congress in a pretty crowded field. So we're looking forward to visiting with him. He's been on the show before, and we're looking forward to having him on again. So
yeah, it's been a full week with everyone running for that race. Cause yeah, Dr. Al's running against Aaron Flint, who we had on Wednesday, right. and then obviously Christy Jacobson, who we had on earlier, and we're already getting a call, so let me go answer that.
All right, but there you go. And by the way, it is open phones. 406-721-1290 is our number. 1-800-568-5309. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. And also, we're going to get to Henry Kriegel on here in just a moment. Talk about Americans for Prosperity and pretty important organization. Do we have him on?
We're going to get to him at 8:10.
8:10.
So, yeah. Yep. So we got about a few minutes here. We can keep yakking. But yeah, and then obviously Ryan Bussey was on yesterday, and Russ Cleveland has already been on. And so, I think we've had technically the big five kind of in that race. And once we have Dr. Al, that'll be wrapping everything up with that one. So,
well, kudos to you for getting all those folks on. And the reason, of course, the reason that Nick does this and we do this is so that you, our listeners, can be informed as to who you're going to vote for. Because it's if you don't vote, you know, then this is all for nothing.
Well, and I did get some feedback yesterday that was kind of interesting. I was curious because there was someone that was mentioning we're trying to keep the 9 o'clock hour of the show a more statewide focus, because obviously we have a bigger statewide audience now. And someone mentioned that, you know, having people like Aaron and Ryan on, that they should not be on during the statewide hour because there's people, some affiliates that can't actually vote for these individuals. And I was like, well, I kind of see where you're coming from there, but also at the same time, like, even if I can't vote for these people, the way I see it, we're still providing a platform for you to learn about who may end up actually representing our state. You may not get to vote, you know, for who you want in that particular race, but at least you can hear what they're all about and talk to your friends and family. And maybe, you know, people on that side, you know, that live in the Eastern District or Western District, and can talk to them about maybe who they should vote for. But I don't know. I thought that anytime you have a congressional candidate on, that kind of applies to a statewide audience. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it is important because no matter whether they're in your district or not, if they're in a national office or a statewide office, the decisions that they make and the positions that they take are going to affect you in one way or another. And so this is one of the beautiful things about doing Talk Back is you have an opportunity to talk with these folks on the phone live and explain your thoughts, your needs, what's going on in your community, some concerns you might have. It's very, very important that you folks, our wonderful audience, now statewide, by the way, here on Talk Back, it's very important that you engage with these folks because they want to represent you, especially when they're running for a statewide office or a regional office. They want to get to know you so that you can contact them if they are lucky enough to win. That way you'll already have a relationship established with them. And so that's how that works. All right. So we're coming up against a break here in just a moment. Our phone number, area code 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Back with more of Talk Back right after this quick timeout.
TalkBackers.
Dennis Bragg updating the forecast. A 20% chance of rain early, otherwise partly sunny through Friday and cool, highs around 60 degrees. That's the start of an unsettled weekend as we see the impacts of weather coming from BC that will keep us in a colder trend. Saturday brings a 40% chance of rain and clouds, highs in the low 50s at the most. Overnight lows will drop below freezing. That might even mean some snow showers through the weekend, maybe some thunder, and frost risk returns early next week.
Welcome back to Talk Back, everybody, on this Friday, May 15th. We are honored to have with us Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director of Americans for Prosperity. And Henry, good morning, sir. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, it's great to be on the show with you gentlemen as well. Thank you.
All right. So tell us, for those who maybe weren't with us last week when we first talked with you, tell us a little bit about Americans for Prosperity and your organization.
Sure. Americans for Prosperity has been around since 2004 in the state of Montana. We started our chapter in 2011. I've served under
support for Talk. Are they obviously familiar with each other? Are they working together, or are they just working with you on an individual basis?
We don't collaborate with the candidates directly. That's prohibited by law. But once we endorse the candidate, we run our own program in support. That would include us mailers to their constituents, to voters in that district where they're running. That would include digital ads that will run to those constituents in that district. And most importantly, which is our comparative advantage, because we do this better than any other organization in the U.S. and certainly in the state of Montana, we have our staff and our part-time staff canvass, knock doors of voters, because votes are won person to person, heart to heart, at the door, where we can have meaningful and authentic conversations discussing the issues that are of greatest importance and impact on the lives of these voters in Montanans. And we share with them how our candidates are best suited to address them.
Now, Henry, I know you, free speech and donor privacy are very important to your organization. Could you kind of go over, tap those nails for us, please?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this requires a lengthier conversation. But as a principle, we believe in political free speech. That's just not just for groups like Americans for Prosperity, but any organization or individual who wants to engage in policy matters, because that's a fundamental right. It's a First Amendment right. And we oppose all efforts to stifle that speech. So as you probably know, the Montana State Supreme Court recently ruled to allow CI 135, a constitutional initiative, the proponents to gather signatures to get it on the ballot. And what CI 135 would do is that it would we believe an unconstitutional attempt to override the U.S. Supreme Court ruling on Citizens United, which allows organizations like ours on the political right of center, and also organizations like ACLU and Forward Montana, to receive funds and from contributors to our organization as a whole for ongoing educational and public service work. And as a part of our work, not the entirety, but as a part of our efforts as a C4 organization to engage in campaign work, without having the names of those donors revealed, unless those donors and contributors are contributing specifically to a campaign, right, which we don't solicit that. But in any case, we welcome participation by the public. Privacy is an issue that's steeped in our history. Benjamin Franklin wrote anonymous letters during the Revolution. Thomas Paine's Common Sense was also written anonymously. It's designed to protect the integrity and the safety and the well-being of the individuals who are publicly speaking, but still want to have a voice and not be subjected to ridicule. It's been ensconced in more recently in our history, Henry, with the NAACP.
Henry, Just yes, sir. Real quick, we're running out of time. How about a contact number?
Okay, great. You want to give me a call? 406-581-5410. 581-5410. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Henry. Have a great day. We appreciate you being with us. We're going to come right back with Open Phones. Stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back.
Times of transition, whether from a sad event or a joyful one, can leave us feeling adrift. Social connections are an important part of a healthy life. Being isolated and lonely can be harmful to your health. It can lead to high blood pressure, a greater risk of heart disease, and early onset dementia. So it's important to build and maintain connections to people, not just in your family, but others whose relationships bring meaning to your life. Trying a new hobby, volunteering, exercising, even using your phone or other device to stay in touch with others. All these can be great ways to keep up your social connections and your physical and mental well-being. Visit connecttoeffect.org to see if you're at risk of social isolation and find ways to get connected. Presented by AARP Foundation with support from United Healthcare.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down. A blinding eye disease intended to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Loss of sight won't blind our vision. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Talk Back. Open Phones continues, and folks are already waiting on the line. Let's get Jeff on. Jeff, good morning, sir. You're on Talk Back. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, gents. Good morning, Montana. There was a little bit of a cutout there when you had Henry on. It was went to commercials, about four or five different commercials, so I didn't get to hear the first part of his spiel.
And you're listening on the stream, right, Jeff? You're listening on
the... Yeah, I'm on the app.
Yeah, we're
working.
I've mentioned that to them. They're trying to get it all squared away. I don't know if there's any way while we're working on this that you could maybe turn on a radio or something. But yeah, we've been having some issues with the delay with the stream and things like that. So
I wasn't complaining. I was just letting you know.
Yeah, thank you. No, I appreciate it.
Technical difficulty.
Yeah. Yes, we need the feedback. Otherwise, we wouldn't know because we can't listen to the stream because we're on air.
It's like that old announcement said, do not adjust your set.
Right.
There you go.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So Yeah, I was going to ask him about some of the attacks that recent candidates like David Beatty have been made on AFP here recently, that they're this far-right organization, and I push back on that a lot, but I just wanted to ask him about what he's heard about that and any of the counters he might have for that. But one of the things that I think drives folks like Americans for Prosperity, this is Javier Milei, the Prime Minister of, or President of Argentina, I'm not sure which one. But he's started to turn that country around from socialism to open market economy.
Wow.
And this quote is that, yeah, he's been pretty successful at it too. This quote says, don't get caught up in the terrible concept that where there is a need, there is a right. And I think that probably defines the difference between the left and the right, progressives and conservatives more than anything else, that if someone sees a need, that means that there's a right. If someone's hungry, they have a right to food. If somebody doesn't have a home, they have a right to a shelter. If they don't have transportation, do they have a right to a car? If they want to smoke, do they have a right to a cigarette? If they want to do drugs, do they have rights to drugs? You can take that ad nauseum. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, how far do you take it?
Yeah. I need this. Okay, that means I have a right to it? No. There are rights that are God-given. Those are actual rights. And the rest are wants. And we're responsible for our own wants. So, and I'll just leave you with this, Peter, that I saw this in a post online. I had to share it. And I know you will identify with this.
Okay.
Being 20 in the 70s was much more fun than being 70 in the 20s.
Nick is looking at me smiling.
I got no comment.
Well, you know, either way, we're alive and kicking, right?
Happy to be here. I just said, I'm going to bed now at or getting up in the morning now at times I used to go to bed at.
So, I'm hip. All right. Jeff, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the call. Dave is up next. Dave, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd like to talk about, yesterday's conversation with a Democrat. And I was really impressed with the people who called in. They asked good questions. They were tough questions. And there were some solutions put out by the candidate, whether you agree with them or not. I thought it was a very good show. But the day before show seemed like a love fest to me.
Okay.
When you had a Republican on, and there were a lot of people calling in. They were complaining about problems, but there was no real.
Oh, you're talking about Aaron Flint when Aaron Flint was on, right?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
It was pretty much a love fest, and there weren't a lot of questions, and there weren't a lot of solutions. There was a lot of anger at Democrats who they call socialists, and I wish, the questions would have been more about and solutions to problems. It's like homeless. I hear a lot of griping about homeless. Well, but I don't hear solutions.
Right.
What do you do with a homeless person? I mean, you want them off the street. Are you going to throw them in jail? Are you going to, what is solutions for homeless? If you're going to complain about it, you should try to figure out solutions. And that's what we need from all our politicians. Even if you don't like the solution, they should be required to try to have a solution.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think a good solution for homelessness will be? We've got about a minute left in our time together with you before we take a hard break. So do you have any ideas?
Well, again, homeless is a multiple problem.
Right.
Some of them are drug addicts. Some are just in need of a place to stay, like some people we've helped,
right,
that just need a place to stay for a short time while they transition to a job,
right,
or they come out of a hospital and they're sick. I mean, there's a counselor to figure out, to divide them into their problems.
Gotcha.
and figure out what is needed for each individual to get them back on the street.
All right.
Well, what's the alternative? I mean,
yeah.
do we end their lives?
No, I mean, what? Of course not. Of course not. Hey, listen, thank you. We're coming up against a break. Thank you so much for the call, and thanks for that solution. We appreciate it. Gary from Billings, Susie from Hamilton, and Rick are all standing by. It is open phones at 406-721-1290. We would absolutely love to have you be on with us, as we're going to come right back after this quick timeout. And don't forget, in the 9 o'clock hour, Dr. Al Olszewski is going to be joining us. So, looking forward to that. He's running for Congress. Thanks for joining us on Talk Back.
Dennis Bragg updating the forecast. A 20% chance of rain early, otherwise partly sunny through Friday and cool. Highs around 60 degrees. That's the start of an unsettled weekend as we see the impacts of weather coming from BC that will keep us in a colder trend. Saturday brings a 40% chance of rain and clouds. Highs in the low 50s at the most. Overnight lows will drop below freezing. That might even mean some snow showers through the weekend. Maybe some thunder, and frost risk returns early next week.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
All right, welcome back to Talk Back, everybody. Good to have you along on this Friday. And let's get right back to open phones. Gary from Billings standing by. Gary, good morning. Thanks for calling, sir.
Hey, good morning, Peter. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate you bringing out the truth. What I'd like to talk about is this judge that changes the legislative laws of setting up how our elections are run. I was an election judge in Yellowstone County for many years. And we try to get the truth out, but one man can change the whole narrative to favor and not get the truth out. So what is your opinion why we have to succumb to these laws that are thrown in by one liberal judge? It's frustrating for us because if you're voting down there and you register on the same day,
right.
The lines back up. So why is it that he's allowed to throw his opinion in because some people don't register and vote?
Well, I'm just looking at the news story from the Montana Free Press. It said the court, a judge blocks Election Day voter registration changes. And it says the court order, this is kind of the preamble, the court order which preserves new voter ID requirements comes after ballots and voting guidelines have been mailed for Montana's June 2nd primary election. So, it may be, hopefully it's not too little too late, but the judge probably thought, hey, I've got to do something. This is wrong. It's violating a law somewhere. So I'm sure that's why he jumped in to try to change it.
Well, I understand, but it just seemed like that if people want to vote, why can't they register ahead of time? Would you like to go down there and sit there and the lines back up for hours, even after the polls close? So that I appreciate you bringing the truth, Peter, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate it, sir. And let's see, we have Susie from Hamilton. Susie, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Susie. I'm just responding to what we've had happen in Ravalli County with Americans for Prosperity.
Okay.
2 years ago, they took over the Central Committee following getting Art Wittich into the State Committee. And in 1 year, the first year for our last election, which would have been 24, they got it in 22, I believe. They took over the funding of all of the Central Committee's money that had been raised actually by the previous people and spent all of it on almost all of it that was in the Treasury on billboards and funding simply three people. They chose Teresa Manzella, Kathy Love, and Kim Daly. They did, that was in the primary. The other people running for Republican positions got no funding and no help after the primary because all the funds had been spent. They took over. I was just removed from the Republican Women's Club because I asked a client, I asked Kim Daly why she did not come to a meeting for over a year as a Central Committee member when she just said, I'm going to be running again and for my position in the Central Committee. And I, why aren't you coming to the meetings then? Because, you know, who are you representing? It's just, there are problems with Americans with Prosperity. I've had 12 flyers come in from Kim Daly. They're expensive, yeah. And they're all being paid for by companies out of Virginia.
Well,
why are Virginians picking our people who are running?
Well, one would think that there are plenty of advertising and printing companies right here in the good old state of Montana.
Exactly, and not to mention it's frightening because it's a national group that's trying to take over the Republican Party, and they get to pick and choose who is considered a Republican. I think you know me. I've been a Republican for a while, and they have indicated that when I wanted to join the Republican Women again after not coming for a while because my business was too busy.
Right.
And whoever they are, no one ever talked to me, asked me, but they sent me my check that I wrote in January last week and back and said that I was tried to ruin the Women's Republican Club.
Susie, I hate to do this. Yeah. We're up against a hard break, but thanks for sharing that. We appreciate it. Hope that others can join you and maybe make some changes there. We're going to come right back. 721-1290 is our, 406-721-1290 is our number. And again, you're listening to Talk Back on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout.
Hey, boo, it's Denise.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We're with Liam after his fourth military move. When being new is starting to get old. We're with all service members and their families. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
Hey, we're back on Talk Back on this Friday, May 15th. Glad to have you along this morning. It's open phones. Rick, good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on Talk Back.
Thank you for taking my call. Hey, the other day you had a caller talking about Aaron Flint, like in his sensationalism when it came to bringing up terrorism and basically kind of said that Republicans needed a bogeyman to bring sensationalism into the campaigns. But I got some data from a group called the International Global Terrorist Database.
Okay.
And it's a group with FBI, Interpol, you know, international law people. And from 1970 to now, Islamic terrorism, there's been 70,000 attacks.
Wow.
That's sort of staggering. There's been 249,941 people killed. That's almost a quarter of a million people. And if they think that's boogeyman, well, there's an old saying, you know, if you're paranoid, it doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
So, I've heard that, yes.
Yes, yes. So on the other hand, you look up the Jewish terrorism, and you know me, I'm a defender of Jews. You look up Jewish terrorism internationally. In the 1970s, there was 15 terrorist attacks by the JDL, the Jewish Defense League. And since then, there's been, the only terrorism there's been is within the state of Israel, of conservatives going after liberal Jews, and it's considered what they're doing is terrorism. Over the last month in Great Britain, people have been stabbed, ambulances owned by Jewish companies to protect Jewish citizens and non-Jewish citizens have been burned down. There's been riots in France. There's been riots in Great Britain. So if you're a Republican and you're scared of Islamic terrorism, I think the numbers back it up. And this is a legitimate group. So just watch out for the boogeyman out there, everybody.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Andy's up next. Andy, good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on Talkback on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. I'm calling from Ravalli County, and this is certainly an open phone topic.
You bet.
Yesterday, my bright red canoe was stolen from Woodside fishing access at between 1:45 and 2:45. It's bright red. If you see one in Ravalli County that you hadn't seen before, please call the Ravalli County Sheriff. Things are changing down in Ravalli County.
Now, let me ask you something, because I don't own a boat, I never have. Do you register those like you do a car, or how do you do this? You just buy the boat, put it in the water, and have fun?
Yep, no registration required on the small boat.
Wow. Well, listen, we got a very large statewide audience now. If anybody sees that, should they just call the Ravalli County Sheriff's Office?
Yes, please. That would be great.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, and hope you get your stuff back. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, John from Kalispell. John, good morning, sir. You're on Talkback on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, this is John Sinrud, and I was just wanted to comment on the gal from Ravalli County, where I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and talking about Americans for Prosperity. First of all, she is completely incorrect. Americans for Prosperity is a third-party organization, just like Montana Conservation Voters, the FL-CIO,
right,
or any other organization out there.
They're an advocacy group, yeah.
Exactly, educational group. They have nothing to do with politics. They're getting information out to individuals in regards to how elected officials have been voting or running the state in which they are elected to, and how they're voting to educate people. And when I was running in elections or for office, I had the AFL-CIO, the MEA-MFT come out and put all kinds of things against me, saying that I was for battered women.
Wow.
Because I didn't vote for an additional marriage tax a tax on marriage licenses that would go to battered women shelters, because I thought if it was a value, they should have it in a general fund and pay for it, not a tax on marriage. And so this individual is completely unhinged and off base. AFP is a good organization, and they promote American freedom and Montana values. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, and best of luck to you. I believe Ed is standing by. Ed, good morning. You're on Talkback. Go ahead, please, sir.
Yeah. What I want to say is that after this meeting with Xi in China, I'd say goodbye, Taiwan. Hello, Cuba. He's going to do something with Cuba, but not going to defend or even sell defensive weapons to Taiwan, in my opinion. And the joke was that I made a little while ago, tell Trump Cuba has no oil. But they do have beaches for Trump Towers, and they lost a big project in Australia at Surfer's Paradise. We've been to Surfer's Paradise, but they lost a big project there. And I think that's what we're going to find in Cuba.
Well, yeah, Cuba's in tough shape, let me tell you. And they need all the help they can get. I'm not sure how much the United States can do in a country like that. I'm sure Cuba has its allies, right? Probably mostly in Central and South America. But here in the United States, I'm sure folks are saying, hey, I'm not sure if they want to invest in Cuba.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to happen because someone said on the TV yesterday, notice there hasn't been any Epstein's news in the mail or news on TV.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. We're going to come right back. Phone lines are open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Thanks for joining us on this Friday edition of Talk Back on the Montana Talks Radio Network. And we're going to continue, hopefully get your phone calls when we come back right after this timeout. And again, the number 406-721-1290 for Talk Back. Hey, my friend Jay. Hey, welcome back to Talk Back on this Friday, May 15th, on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We've got Al standing by for open phones. Al, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Oh, a short time ago you were talking about, I thought I heard, no need to register a small boat. And I wanted to add, unless you add a motor.
Yes,
to
that, exactly.
You might want to. Right. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Well. Yeah. if you're going to have a canoe, I'm not sure you have to register a canoe, but if it is a motorized vehicle, then definitely it needs to be registered.
Right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. All right. Open phones continues for another 5 minutes or so. If you've got something on your mind, please give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Go ahead, Nick, please.
Yeah, I do have a quick update. We've been obviously tracking this Attorney General Austin Knutson case with the Gallatin County Attorney Audrey Cromwell.
Right.
And we had more news come out yesterday, late afternoon, that Attorney General Knutson asked the Montana Supreme Court to dismiss Gallatin County Attorney Audrey Cromwell's petition requesting that the AG's supervisory control be terminated. So, and for those of you that maybe are just hearing about this, Knutson invoked that supervisory control on April 30th. When Cromwell refused to rescind her policy, refusing to recognize ICE as a, quote, criminal justice agency, end quote, and share confidential criminal justice information with them. Knutson said that Cromwell's request for the Supreme Court to take up the case should be denied, he said, because she's asking the court to rule on a political issue, not a legal question. He said, additionally, the case does not belong at the Montana Supreme Court as no urgency or emergency factors exist, making litigation in the trial courts and the normal appeal process inadequate. He said, rather, if any justifiable claims exist, the case should be filed in district court. Hmm. He said Cromwell's also wrong on the merits since ICE is a criminal justice agency as defined by Montana law. So that's where we're at with everything with that, and we'll see what the Montana Supreme Court decides to do, but they are they're going back and forth here.
All right, so there you go. We are rapidly coming up on the end of this hour, but it's still open phones for a few minutes. If you have a question or a comment, what's going on in the world, we'd love to hear from you at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And as we look forward to the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be having Dr. Al Olszewski. He's running for Congress, and he's going to be in studio with us. So
yeah, he's here.
That's good. All right, we're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to more open phone calls. As a matter of fact, we have about another 3 minutes, right?
Yeah, and if we don't get any, I have another story here.
Go.
Our friend Chris Wolf, he said that there were 7 abandoned campfires found in Montana, in a Montana forest over the weekend,
man.
Which obviously is just not good. They sent out a reminder about, you know, outdoor preparedness and a whole bunch of other things. And, we talked, Peter's grabbing Dr. Al early. Okay.
Yeah, well,
no worries.
We're not on until 9, but that's okay.
But yeah, firefighters found 3 abandoned fires around Lake Como, 2 at Lost Horse, 1 in the Sawdust Gulch area. And that was according to a Facebook post from Discover Bitterroot National Forest. So, yeah, just put your fires out. It's not considered out just because flames are gone.
Right.
Forest officials are, they recommend drowning the fire with water, stirring the ashes and coals thoroughly, and continuing to add water until everything is cool to the touch. A good rule of thumb is if you can still feel heat coming from the ashes, the fire is definitely not out. So be careful about that because, yeah, we don't want a rough fire season here.
And playing the role of Smokey Bear, the fabulous Nick Christensen there. If you've lived in, if you've just moved to Montana, let's put it this way, and you want to get out and you look at all the beautiful, you know, look at all the forest land and all the hiking trails and all that, if you're going to be out there camping or doing something, and fire is a part of that, you really need to learn the methods of building a safe fire, first of all, and then when you're done with it, the proper way to extinguish it, and that is to make sure you drown it, and as you had mentioned, right?
Yeah, I mean it's one of the best parts about living in Montana is being able to, you know, to have a campfire, but you got to make sure before, you know, you even start one that you do have plenty of water available to extinguish a fire, that you have a shovel or a tool to stir the ashes and coals, maybe a safe designated fire ring, and make sure that you're aware of current fire restrictions and conditions, because sometimes, you know, if it's really windy, they'll say, you know, can't have a campfire, a whole bunch of different things. But just be careful out there and make sure you know what you're doing. And yeah, let's not cause any issues this summer.
All right. And again, thanks so much for joining us for this hour of Talk Back. And when we come back after the top of the hour, joining us here in the studio this morning, gentleman running for Congress, Dr. Al Olszewski is going to be with us. And we're looking forward to visiting with him and finding out about his campaign and why he wants to go to Washington, of all places. So,
and crime report. We're going to start with the crime report.
Yeah, the crime report's coming up as well. So we're with Matt Jennings. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout on Talk Back. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And again, it is Friday, May 15th, 2026.
Views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, welcome to hour number 2 of Talk Back with this Friday, May 15th. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen joining us here in the studio. And we are honored once again to have Matt Jennings, our Missoula County attorney. We always kick things off on Friday with the news from Matt. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Peter. Doing really well. Thanks. We unfortunately had kind of a violent week this week in Missoula County. We had 6 new violent felonies. One of those was a gunshot being fired at somebody else. Most of the rest were partner violence. These are usually really tough cases of ongoing disputes and relationships that turn violent. We've got a whole special team that specializes in these because they're complex not only in what happened, but in the outcomes that we're trying to achieve in the future when people often stay together. I've been really proud of some of the efforts of our court system in addressing domestic violence and making sure that the offenders get the treatment and often substance abuse that they need and the victims are taken care of and they're having a voice so they feel safe in their relationships. We had three endangerment crimes, and one of these I wanted to highlight, Peter, because it was really disturbing. But we actually had a bus driver with a bus full of kids that was stopped and investigated for a DUI this week and charged with criminal endangerment, child criminal endangerment, for those kids that were on the bus over the legal limit in the state of Montana while driving kids to school in the morning. And so that is a real disturbing incident for us. And that person is currently charged with felonies, obviously innocent until proven guilty, but glad nothing worse happened there. We had three property crimes, then we had five drug crimes. We've had a little bit of an uptick in methamphetamine in the community, and spinning off of that are property crimes. And so last year we were having a bit of a lull in both of those, and they go hand in hand. So many people that are struggling with addiction then turn to criminal means to finance their addiction, and we get a lot of property crimes that spin off of that. And so seeing a little bit of an uptick, but we're going to keep monitoring that. And then we had one administrative crime. Those are almost always fugitives that are caught here in Missoula with a warrant from out of state. So rounding that off, we had 18 felonies that were filed this week in Missoula. That's about it.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question. Are there any specific neighborhoods that are more more affected by these burglaries, things like that, these petty crimes?
Well, there are, Peter, and you know, they often end up being much more like a micro neighborhood, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And that's something that we spend a lot of time looking into, because there's some theories on law enforcement that are really focused on sort of isolated geography of criminals tend to congregate together, they live together, they associate together, and then sometimes in the nearby sort of a trap house or a drug house, we see a lot of crime spinning off of that. You know, ironically, we don't necessarily see like more thefts in wealthy neighborhoods. I feel like if I were a criminal, I'd want to actually steal from somebody that had money.
Right.
But we often find people that are victims of crimes are actually indigent themselves, and that's even more unfortunate. Like a criminal might steal their sort of like a friend of a friend's car or something like that that might only be worth a few thousand bucks, but now that person can't get to work, and it has this kind of ongoing cycle of after effects from a crime. And so, yeah, there are some neighborhoods that we see that are more problematic, but they also rotate a little bit. We break up one sort of micro geographic area, and then maybe they move to another spot. And so our police here in Missoula, especially in the city of Missoula, are really great about getting their sort of criminal intelligence information together and targeting those locations.
Now, if folks want to report a crime, how can they stay anonymous?
Yeah, well, you know, there are some ways to do that, and they can always sort of use an online form with Missoula Police, or they can call 911. Now, we do everything we can to respect somebody wanting to remain anonymous, but if somebody is reporting something and don't want their name involved, it means we usually can't use them as a witness.
Gotcha.
And they may have good reasons for that, but there are some
Matt, thanks for
limitations.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Peter. Bye.
Cold and flu season.
Dennis Bragg updating the forecast. A 20% chance of rain early, otherwise partly sunny through Friday and cool. Highs around 60 degrees. That's the start of an unsettled weekend as we see the impacts of weather coming from BC that will keep us in a colder trend. Saturday brings a 40% chance of rain and clouds. Highs in the low 50s at the most. Overnight lows will drop below freezing. That might even mean some snow showers through the weekend. Maybe some thunder and frost risk returns early next week.
When I deployed, I didn't realize that even the air we were breathing was dangerous. Veterans like us are now eligible for new VA care and benefits based on when and where we served. Apply today. Visit va.gov/PACT.
Welcome back to Talk Back, everybody. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls. And we are privileged to have with us here in the studio this morning, Dr. Aloshevsky. It's good to see you again, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Montana. Hey,
I've got a crime to report.
Go for it.
Well, hey, again, we've just saw that the CSKT Water Compact was in front of the water court. And we saw that the water court determined that this state law, which is a water settlement between a self-determined small tribe and the state, gives away our water rights of Western Montana. But inside there, there's also a giveaway by our federal representatives in the federal law portion of 36,808 acres of public lands to the same tribe, the CSKT. That is supposed to happen here at the end of this year or early next year. And no one's talking about it. So our federal representatives have been saying, hey, we got to keep public lands in public hands.
Right.
But yet with their other hand, they're giving away nearly 60 square miles of Montana's public lands to a third party who, yeah, they could sell it if they wanted to. But more importantly, almost all of us in Montana will not be able to hunt, fish, trap, and recreate on that property.
Wow. So what that, obviously that's got you fired up.
Oh, it does. And the good news about the water court determination, again, what we've learned is that the CSKT Water Compact is not a true compact. Seven of the eight tribes in Montana have a true compact, which is a contract signed by the federal government, the state government, and the tribes dealing with the determination of how much water they have for rights within their reservation.
Sure.
This water compact is unique because it's not a compact. It's not signed. It is really a state law that and a federal law that are two separate things that are used to determine a water settlement between the state and the federal government and a self-determined small tribe.
All right. Well, we have lots of folks waiting to visit with you on the phone, so let's get right to it. Dr. Al is running for Congress, so let's get Hugh on first. Hugh, good morning. You're on with Dr. Al. Go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I just heard was really good insight that I haven't heard from the other two candidates. It's knowledge is power. But Dr. Al, good morning.
Good morning, Hugh.
Two questions. Yeah. Is it my understanding that your opponents don't have any previous legislative experience?
Hugh, that is correct. I am the only candidate in the Republican side and the Democrat side that has any legislative experience. I'm the only one with a voting record in Helena as a former representative and a former state senator. So I'm the only one that's pushed on a red button for no or a green button for yes. Everybody else has not done that. So that's that answer. Go ahead. Next.
Yeah. Two questions from that. No, that's good. So one question is, why is that important going to Washington? And the other question is, give us an example of where you worked across the aisle while you were in Helena to promote a bill that was good for Montanans.
Okay, so it's important. The joke in Helena is that it takes a full legislative session or your first year just to find out where the bathrooms are. And what that means is that you have
That's
to,
actually true.
Yeah, well, and I know where all the good bathrooms are in the Capitol.
Yeah, go ahead.
But the fact is that it takes a minimum of one or two sessions for you to understand how to create a bill, how to work with the legislative staff, how to develop coalitions and stakeholders to get that your bill done. A good idea should never be a law. It has to become an excellent idea, and that requires debate, that requires dialogue, and it requires persuasion. Okay, an example. Look, I didn't create this bill, but I got it out of the hole. Back in 2019, there was a Democrat-sponsored bill that gave high school students the ability to decorate their gowns. Not so important for those of us off of tribal reservations, but very important for those families that are on reservations. Decorating and beading their gowns is an important thing. And it's an important celebration. And it came to our committee, and in my committee, I killed it. But I listened to those young men and women from a Northern Cheyenne tribe explaining how this was important to them, how it was important to their families, how it may improve graduation rates and may decrease suicide. So later that week, I got on the floor of the Senate and I blasted that bill from being killed and resurrected it and basically pointed out how important it was, and that was blasted onto the floor by almost unanimous decision.
Wow.
It then was passed by unanimous decision from the Senate over to the House, and it was passed there, and then it went to a Democrat governor who signed it, and now anybody, whether tribal or non-tribal, our children, with respect, can celebrate their graduations in public schools by decorating their hat, their gown, by beading or whatever, as long as it's respectful.
That's interesting that you would say that. I'm wondering, you know, who would be opposed to that? Is it just the general school district or fussy budgets or what? who wouldn't want the kids to be able to celebrate their culture?
You know, unelected bureaucrats put a hold on this, and you know, and there is a relatively decent logic on this issue, is that there was a fear that that our young men and women would abuse such a privilege and would make graduations disorderly. But what we've seen is that fear is didn't come to fruition. That hasn't been an issue across our state. And that's been in place now, what, seven years?
I will tell you that Denny Bedard and I handled the commencement at the University of Montana, and some of the decorations that these young people put on their caps and gowns are absolutely inspiring. I mean, they're so proud of their family or their culture or whatever it might be, and they stand in front and people cheer, and it's wonderful.
Absolutely. What we saw was a little Democrat versus Republican competition that became more important than the actual bill.
All right. We're going to come right back. By the way, our guest here in the studio is Dr. Al Olszewski. He's running for Congress, ladies and gentlemen. He's a Republican, and he's here to answer your questions. We will do that when we come back from the break. Our phone number is area code 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We hope you'll stay with us. We're coming right back after this quick timeout with Dr. Al.
Montana State News Network.
Huge rodeo news out of Billings with news that one of the largest and longest events ever won't be back next season. Tracy Taylor brings us the story.
After 31 straight years, PBR's premier Unleash the Beast series will not return to Billings in 2027. According to the organization's vice president of strategic communications, the Velocity Tour will come to First Interstate Arena at Metro Park instead. PBR first came to Billings in 1996, making it the longest-running premier series stop in the organization's history. While professional bull riding will remain in the Magic City, the change marks the end of an era for many longtime fans. In Billings, Tracy Taylor, Montana State News Network.
Tracy reports the replacement event, the Velocity Tour, will happen next year. It's the Pendleton Whiskey Velocity Tour, described as the PBR's expansion series, geared for up-and-coming riders and veterans trying to get back into the PBR. National political heavyweights are descending on Missoula next week. New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is headed to Missoula on Friday, May 22nd. She'll be joined by Association of Flight Attendants President Sarah Nelson at an event at the Wilma Theater for a rally supporting congressional candidate Sam Forstag. Doors will open at 5 p.m. with the program kicking off at 6. Supporters can RSVP via a link in Team AOC's Instagram bio. The 2026 Spring Mac Days on Flathead Lake wrapped up this week with what officials are calling an historic success. According to Montana Outdoor, the event reached a staggering total of nearly 38,000 lake trout entries. That would make it the fourth best spring season in the event's long history. Kalispell's Colton Turner dominated the leaderboard for the sixth time, averaging over 94 fish per day. This is all sponsored by the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes and sanctioned by Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. The competition, which has been going on for years, aims to reduce the non-native lake trout population to protect the native stocks of bull trout and West Slope cutthroat.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Chris Jakimic. I served in the United States Air Force, and I've deployed 3 times. So in 2017, I was serving as an Air Force First Sergeant. Our motto in that role is my job is people, everyone is my business. But unfortunately, in that year, I would lose my own brother, Lance Corporal Adam Jakimic, to suicide. The majority of veteran suicides are from guns. I store my weapons securely, not only for myself, but for my family. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide. My service never stops.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It is the Friday, May 15th edition of Talk Back. Our special guest in studio, Dr. Al Olszewski, Republican, running for Congress, and lots of folks want to visit with you, sir. Harry is up first. Harry, go ahead, please. What's up? Harry, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Al. You already highlighted your difference in experience, but I'm wondering what other policies do you differ from your Republican opponents? And another question, what seems to be the big thing right now is, elections is the economy, you know, the affordability, whatever. What it turns out, you know, usually comes down to is that prices are going higher than the wages. So what can you see how you could affect that? I mean, you know, tax cuts, they've already, you know, had big tax cuts. That didn't seem to do anything. And regulations usually takes years to have any kind of effect. So what do you see how to affect the economy?
Well, there's a number of questions there, Harry. Number one, probably the big issue is that fundamentally I believe that as your next congressman, that I work for you, that the power belongs to the people. It was delegated as a sovereignty from our creator, and we delegate part of our sovereignty to our federal representatives in a republic. You don't work for me. And the House of the United States Congress is the people's house. So I get my marching directions. I get my orders from you. Number two, a big issue right now is AI data centers. Look, they're running in here like a freight train that is out of control. And we're coming into a state that does not have state regulations, and there are really no good federal regulations about how we deal with water mitigation and protecting our water, how we protect the power for the people. Look, I understand there's a promise that they're going to bring their own power, but when's the last time you saw a power generation plant built in Montana? Come on. Give me a handle. So we have to have regulations that allow them to do that. And number three, look, nobody wants one of these in their backyard. There's noise pollution. There's many issues that come along with it. And what happens in computer world? Things become obsolete within a couple of years. What are we going to do with the carcass of these dinosaurs when Elon Musk moves AI data centers into space, which is the ideal place to have them?
So you said you work for us. So you agree with a lot of people who say that the Congress should be trying to take some of their power back from the executive branch that they've been giving out to the executive branch all these years.
Exactly. Right, and from Harry, I said that here in Montana, that I'm a perennial candidate. I ran for governor in 2020 and got beat by our current governor. And one of the big platforms that I wanted was to transfer power back from the executive branch back to the legislative branch that was forfeited over the last 50 to 60 years. We need to be equal branches, partners in our government between the executive and legislative branch here at the state as well as the federal government. We know the Congress is not supposed to be employees of the executive branch. So, yes, it is time to really jealously guard the power we're supposed to have and fight for it back.
Let's get another call in and before we take a break. Brad, good morning. You're on with Dr. Al Olszewski. Go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Peter. Doc, thanks for being on. As the only candidate who has lived long-term in the Flathead and really the only one who can claim residency in the Western District, because one recently moved from Billings, and there's questions raised about, you know, claiming homestead exemption on a property there. and the other doesn't live in the district. You know, that's a concern to many of us voters. But the previous caller just kind of asked the question, but I want you to dig into it a little bit more. But there are a slew of important issues, you know, taxes in Montana and spending in Montana and data centers. There's only a certain amount that a federal legislator can do on local issues. They, you know, there's really not a great deal of impact that they can have. But given that you're the only candidate with true legislative experience, someone who's had to push a button, red or green, to vote no or yes, and you're not supported by D.C. elites but supported by the people of Montana, how would you attempt to help Montanans on one or two of those issues? And I'd like to hang on the phone and just hear his response.
Thanks for the call. Go ahead, Dr. Al.
Real quick, and this goes back. Look, our affordability is going through the roof. Yeah, I mean, gas, I paid $4.70 a gallon to come down to be on this radio show. It's atrocious. And so I support President Trump on putting a pause on the gas tax at the federal level. We could do this at the state level. But understanding that is going to cause a hurt to our infrastructure as we move forward, and it should only be temporary if that's the case. Number two, we need to make sure that we are opening up our public lands in the appropriate places to make sure that we are getting cheap energy. Drill, baby, drill. That's all energy. That's gas. That's natural gas. That's coal. And Montana is definitely a natural resource state that we can make that happen. If we do not have cheap energy, we do not have the standard of living that we have right now. So as your congressman, you know, we're going to fight with that. And it's not a fight on the floor. It's a fight with the bureaucrats in the agencies.
All right. A guest here in the studio is Dr. Al Olszewski. He's a Republican running for Congress. And again, we'd appreciate your phone calls at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And again, we have Skip, Ed, and Dave all standing by to visit with Dr. Al. So if you'd like to be a part of the party, just give us a call. We'll be on until 10 o'clock this morning. And again, that phone number, 406-721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. So we're going to come right back after this quick timeout and get more from Dr. Al. And, of course, we do have a few phone lines open if you'd like to join in with the conversation. So stay with us.
TalkBackers brought with KGRZ Sports. Here's your sports update, brought to you by Campbell Kia of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles at a no-pressure buying experience. Located off Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Here's Ace Sauerwein.
Stanley Cup playoff scores from last night. The Vegas Golden Knights, they're moving on. They defeat the Anaheim Ducks 5-1, and they win the series in six. The Golden Knights will now get the Colorado Avalanche in the Western Conference Final. The Montreal Canadiens, they topped the Buffalo Sabres last night in Buffalo. Final score 6-3. The Canadiens score the final four goals over the last two periods. Montreal takes a 3-2 lead in that series. They will get the Sabres trying to close them out on Saturday at 6 o'clock on ABC. No NHL action tonight, just as there was no NBA action last night. But a pair of NBA games coming up tonight. It's the Detroit Pistons and the Cleveland Cavaliers at 5 o'clock on Prime Video. Cleveland trying to close the series, as will San Antonio against Minnesota tonight at 7:30. That's a look at sports. I'm Ace Sauerwein.
Life is full of moments, from first steps, first loves, moments that make life special. And life can also bring us difficult and disruptive moments like a cancer diagnosis, which is why the groundbreaking work of Stand Up to Cancer is so vital. They know the problem of cancer won't be solved by one doctor, one lab, or one hospital. It takes collaboration. That's why Stand Up to Cancer brings together top minds from different fields to find new and better treatments so patients can thrive. So when it matters, we can all show up for moments of a lifetime. Please join Stand Up to Cancer and Myrtle Beach to help families get back to where they belong, making new memories for years to come. Please go to standuptocancer.org to see how you can join the mission.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we're back. Back on Talk Back, Peter Christian here. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. Dr. Al Oshefsky, running for Congress on the Republican ticket, is our guest in the studio, and folks are lined up to talk with you, sir. Skip is up next. Skip, good morning.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello, Skip. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you, Peter, and thanks for coming on, Dr. Al. I'm just so appreciating the first 20 minutes was so powerful of your whole hour on Talkback. I hope people are learning a lot of things about the subjects you brought up. The Native American story was something that people don't realize, things that happened, I'll say, you know, behind the scenes in Helena. And I've always appreciated your knowledge about all things natural resources and especially water pack issues. But I wanted to take it in a different direction and ask you a question that I try to ask every candidate running for District 1 U.S. Representative. I've gotten some interesting answers even from a couple of people on this show, mostly the liberal candidates. And it has to do with whether a person is born as a male at any time in his life should be able to play in any women's sports. And I thought, I'll bet I'll get a straight answer out of Dr. Al. Everybody else's answer so far has been pretty nebulous. So would you please tell us your stand on that and how you would vote on any issue that had that in it if you were in our U.S. Congress?
Absolutely.
Thank you for
Skip.
Coming on, sir.
Yep. Boys should play in boys' sports. Girls should play in girls' sports.
As a doctor.
All right. And boys can – well, we won't go there about doctoring. But the fact is there's two sexes. And we could spend hours talking about the advantages of having an X and a Y chromosome versus an X and X chromosome. And boys go to boys' bathrooms. Girls go to girls' bathrooms. If someone says that they are a trans man or a trans woman, that's their fluid social construct. It doesn't change their sex. And they should play sports and go to bathrooms based on their sex, not their fluid social construct.
Okay, let's move along, get another call. This is Ed. Ed, good morning. You're on with Dr. Al. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I want to get back to that water compact and specifically the treaty with the Flatheads of 1855. We're fairly familiar with this because we have some beach property in Washington, and fishing and shell fishing, comes up out there. And there was a lot of cutting and pasting in 1855. So sections of the various treaties, are all identical. I'll read one section out of Article 3. The exclusive right of taking fish in all the streams running through or bordering said reservation is further secured to said Indians, as also the right of taking fish in all usual and accustomed places, a famous phrase, in common with citizens of the territory. Well, it looks to me like giving the right to go fishing has resulted in the fishermen owning the water and doing whatever they want. Is that true, that allowing them to fish in the usual and accustomed places gives them ownership of that water?
Look, that is a claim for people that are proponents of our Native American cousins of using their fishing right to own the water. The truth is that the right to fish is an access right. It is not a property right. It's an access right. And as we deal with the CSKT, one of their most traditional places that they would have would harvest fish was at the Kootenai Falls. And that would have to be done, not exclusive, but it would have to be done in common with us, following what? The laws in common off of reservation. So, yes, Here's the most important part about the water court's determination, saying that that water rights users have not been harmed, is now we have the opportunity to appeal to the United States Supreme Court. And there have been a lot of very large legal foundations who have been watching this very carefully, not only in Montana, but also through Oregon and Washington State. And it's time to figure out what's going on and take it to our highest court to answer the question that you just asked. Is that a water property right for fishing, or is that an access right? And so many other things. Because if we go back to the United States Supreme Court back in the early 1900s, about 1910, the Winters Doctrine was decided, and it said that we have to give enough water for the purposes of fulfilling that treaty obligation. And I will tell you, at CSKT, that water is all on reservation. They don't need off-reservation water rights.
We're going to come right back. Stay with us. More with Dr. Al Oshefsky when we return from this quick timeout. Our number, area code 406-721-1290, here on TalkBack. Thanks for joining us, everyone. TalkBackers brought
tens of millions of tickets.
Tens of millions of tickets.
Tens of millions of tickets.
Thank you, VetTix. Thank you.
Thank you, FirstTix.
Thank you, VetTix and FirstTix.
Thanks to your support, the nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave, current, and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes and help them re-engage with American life by giving them free, fun experiences and new happy memories that'll last a lifetime. And now, we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to VetTix.org and FirstTix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. Dr. Al's smiling over there. This is great music, isn't it?
Yeah, all of this music sounds like that I'm back in the dorm rooms of Carroll College in 1980, 1981. It's awesome.
All right, let's get right back to the phones. Everybody wants to talk with Dr. Al. Dave, you're up next. Dave, go ahead, please.
Yes, my main concern right now is fixing Social Security and balancing the budget. This year, we are going to spend $1 trillion more in money going out than we take in. And the major drivers of that is Medicare, Social Security, interest on the debt, and now the military. What do you have any solutions? What would you do about the deficits?
You know, we are now right where we were, that we all worried about, that actually that the interest on the debt would be higher than what we pay out for the military. We're paying now over $1 trillion a year on interest on just the debt. That's unbelievable.
That's just interest.
That's just interest. And so, yeah, I mean, we've got to quit spending more money than we bring in as a at the state level as well as the federal level. Oh, that's right. The state, we have a balanced budget. Well, why not have a balanced budget up at the federal government? Look, as your next congressman, I've lived under a balanced budget, and I will fight with the minority of the people that are still fighting. Look, I understand that our current president believes that he can grow us out of this debt. Right now, how's that $4.70 a gallon doing for you? We need to do something soon, or we're not going to be affordable, and there's going to be heck to pay come the midterms.
All right, let's get another call on. This is Greg. Greg, good morning. You're on with Dr. Al. Go ahead, please. Hello, Greg.
Yes, I'd like to go back to the water compact that he was talking about earlier. We have, my sister and I have property on the reservation, and it was homesteaded by our grandfather back in the 30s. And the tribe is, in fact, going after water rights. We got a packet with a bunch of information, and they are objecting to our water rights on the reservation. And so I'm just wondering if anybody else on the reservation has having to go through this also.
The answer is yes. You're not alone. Every person who is a private landowner within the interior boundaries of the CSKT reservation is getting letters like this. People are getting letters like this off of the reservation as well, or letters similar. So here's what I believe is that now that we know that we don't have a true water compact, rather we have a separate federal law and we have a separate state law, I believe that we need to make these laws that were created to create to settle a water dispute. We can make it better. And number one is that let's first follow the Winters Doctrine, and the U.S. Supreme Court said that we have to quantify the amount of water that the CSKT tribes require to fulfill the missions of the 1855 Hellgate Treaty. And I'm going to tell you, it's probably less than 500,000 acre feet per year, and it is, and there's plenty of water on reservation. So number two, once we've fixed that and amended that, we need to amend, and we have to somehow settle the breach of contract between the Flathead Irrigation and Power Project users and the tribe. They paid over years and had liens on their property. Once they fulfilled their payments, those liens were never given back to them. Rather, they were given back to the tribe, and so was their water use rights and their share of the power dam. That needs to be fixed. Number three, we need to take money from the reclamation fund, and for people like you and anybody who has to fight for their water rights that have been well established and have been harmed by the state and federal law, you need to be reimbursed for your legal fees. And then number four, I believe that we need to fight and make sure that this self-determined small tribe of 5,000 people don't get nearly 60 square miles of public lands that then we, the people that are non-tribal, can't use.
How long do you expect this water right, this litigation to drag out? We talked to somebody, and he said, basically said, don't worry about it. This is going to take years. Well, I'm worried about it.
All right.
Even if it does take years.
Yeah, you know,
thanks for the call, Greg.
Yeah, fighting for your water rights, your property rights, does take years when we're dealing with it inside in the judicial system. It does. But your parents fought for them. Your grandparents fought for them. And quite honestly, in this new age where we have everything is in the cloud, we should never, all the disputes should be finished and resolved. And your children should never fight for it. But please keep fighting for your water rights. And then as your next congressman, I will create stakeholders, and let's make the current federal law that for this water settlement, let's make it better, and let's reduce it, and let's make sure that your property rights are protected.
Got about a minute and a half before the break. So are there others that are running for office, perhaps in conjunction with you, that would agree with those statements?
You know, I would hope so. But the fact is this is a very complex issue.
Right.
And I'm a student of it. I'm not an expert. I'm a student who started to understand this process back basically in 2012, 2013, and then was a freshman legislator when the state law version of this water settlement was passed. That could take hours. We could do shows just on that. But this is complex, and this is where experience matters. Nobody else on the Democrat on the Republican side or even the Libertarian side is going to be able to understand these issues, because it would take them over a decade to get up to speed where I'm at. And really, this is the number one issue that deals with Montana. And here's the thing. Tribes, if one tribe gets it, all tribes get it. So this has an effect on all of the United States. And we need to settle this now, not 10 years or 20 years from now.
All right, we're going to come right back. And again, our guest here in the studio, Dr. Al Olszewski, is running for Congress on the Republican ticket. And he's here for another 10 minutes or so. If you have a question or a comment, please give us a call. Lines are open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Just want to say, again, a big thank you to all the callers and especially to Dr. Al for taking the calls and answering all these questions. We're going to come right back after this timeout. Welcome back to Talk Back. Peter Christian here. Mr. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls and joining us here in the studio. Dr. Al Olszewski running for Congress on the Republican ticket. And Mrs. Roscoe from Kalispell is on the line. Now, Mrs. Roscoe, go ahead, please.
Hello. Can you hear me, Dr. Al?
I can.
Hi, this is Mrs. Roscoe up in Kalispell, and I have a couple of quick comments and questions. First of all, I'd like to thank you, because several thousand of us up here in the Western Division are going to be voting for you because we know that you are opposed to AI data centers. We've been following you. And at the very least, we know that you would like to see the Senate and the House here in Montana put on a four-year moratorium. But I do have a question about your opponent, because this is bizarre. Aaron Flint, we know from his Montana Talks Radio, is for these data centers. We also know at the beginning of his campaign, he had $500,000 from a PAC entitled Leading the Future, which requested him to, not requested, they're going to demand it, for him to have federally regulated data centers all over Montana. What they don't want is like a patchwork network of these data centers to be regulated by Montana. But recently, about a week ago, I was listening to him out of a podcast out of Big Sky. And when he was asked the question on that, he betrayed the PAC that gave him $500,000 by saying, oh, we don't want the federal government involved in this. We want to just take it to the people in the People's House and Senate, which is actually what you've been talking about. And, you know, we don't want these filthy centers here if they're going to filth up our water and increase our energy costs. So he's very much contradicting himself. So he's either betraying his PAC or he is coming against the good people of Montana. So maybe you can comment on that. We're standing by you in this because we know that you want the brakes halted on these things. Can you talk about that, please?
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you. I guess I can't speak exactly for Mr. Flint, but what I can say is that the unregulated development of artificial intelligence data centers in Montana is a loser. That's a loser idea because, again, this is not a Republican issue. It's not a Democrat issue. It is a Montana issue. And basically, the people of Montana want us to be smart about how we bring in a new economy. And AI data centers have way too many questions that need to be answered before they start breaking ground, before they are committed or to take all of our power or a portion of our power. Look, an example is Lake Tahoe. It was just announced yesterday that Lake Tahoe was just told by their energy supplier that when their contract expires in 2027, they will no longer get power from their no electricity from their current supplier because they've committed it to go to somewhere else. Now, that is mind-boggling. You know, we don't want that to happen here in Montana to the people of Missoula, to the people of Kalispell, to the people of Lima, to the people of Houston. So we need to be smart about any growth, and especially when it comes to AI data centers.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We have about 2.5 minutes left. And for anybody who's running for office, we usually reserve this time for you to give a stump speech. Obviously, you've got a big audience out there who may not know anything about Dr. Al Olszewski. So explain to us why we should vote for you.
Thank you, Peter. My why for running is to save the republic. You know, we saw now over 70 days ago that our federal representatives, they decided to jump out of the race after promising that they're running for reelection at the very last minute, if not the last second, and inserted their successors. Look, that harms a republic. A republic, as defined by George Washington, is a form of government that has constitutional laws, unity, and the consent of the people to freely elect their own representatives. Look, when I read the United States Constitution, it does not say in Article 1 that the Congress has the power to select their own successors, and we, the people, vote to consent. So that's why I jumped in this race, to give the people a choice. And here's the other part. There is so many stuff or so much stuff that needs to be taken care of. And we just talked about that. One of those issues is the CSKT Water Compact. It is devastating to Western Montana, especially for our kids and our grandkids and future generations, if we don't deal with it now. We're seeing the same issue with property rights. With the floodplain here in Missoula, we're watching people's property rights being diminished or restricted because the federal government, a bureaucracy unelected, has decided that the floodplain with no scientific basis has changed and they're restricting your property. And that's got to stop. It's not only happening here in Missoula County, it's happening throughout Montana and throughout the rest of Western United States.
How can folks contact you and support you, sir?
Oh, no, you got to give me another hour. Al for Montana, alformontana.com is my website. Go there, donate. As a grassroots Republican, I could use all the help I can get.
Dr. Al, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. Mr. Nick, what's coming up on Monday's show, sir?
Yeah, the first half hour, we'll talk with folks from Progressive Keys to Progress program. They're looking to give a vehicle to a veteran or current active military member in need of transportation in Montana. And then it'll be the book club with Drs. Mirdad Kia and Michael Mayer from 8:30 to 10.
All right. Again, a big thank you to Dr. Al and to all of you who called in with great questions. We appreciate it. And we hope you have a terrific weekend. And we will see you bright and early Monday morning, as we always do, Nick and I, for another edition of Talk Back. So have yourselves a great weekend. And please be safe out there all weekend long.